is Mr. Michael Dean, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker with the Freedom Fiends at Pod Bay 2A at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, a mile above sea level in the Alpha Centauri region. We alter your locus coeruleus by rejuvenating your brain with warming radio waves, bringing your brain to a toasty and tasty 325 degrees Fahrenheit. I am Mr. Michael Dean, and the co-host on the Freedom Fiends today, the fiend for a day, is Mr. Dan Green from the Greening Out podcast from Scotland. How are you, Dan Green?
I'm doing well. I'm good.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So we might have you on here kind of semi-regularly. We're dealing with a few audio issues. It's probably got to do with the net neutrality that is kind of like universal without even being called that in the UK, I think. But, you know, we're perfectionists here, but we also are a teaching hospital, so we point out issues. So you're going to hear a little bit of, like, weird little background noise on Dan's end. And it's supposed to be bad radio to point that out, but we do good radio here, and part of that is teaching people to do better radio, and we sound better than most people anyway, but we're going to point it out. So what's up with the net neutralities in Europe, and how's that working out for you?
I've got to be honest, man. I don't know that much about it. See, if I'm being honest, like, the net neutrality thing kind of confuses me a little bit.
Well, it's I think you have it without knowing it, but without it being called that. But it's something that the FCC chairman, the guy who controls the radio waves here in America, who was a lobbyist for the telecom industry, is now trying to put in what they're calling, like, things to protect people, but they seem more like they're going to be to regulate things and protect corporations. Giant, you know, there's nothing wrong with big business. There's nothing wrong with business. There's nothing wrong with capitalism. Mm-hmm. We like it. You like it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. But,
I think you're like one in four people in Scotland that feels that way, probably.
But, yeah, it's just like, yeah, I'm one of the few.
Yeah, but it's, you know, the thing is, like here's the FCC. Like, if we put on our minarchist hat here for a minute and pretend like, there should be.
That's an ugly hat.
It's a dunce cap, man. Go stand in the corner with your minarchist cap. Yeah, but it's if you put that on for a second and pretend there should be small limited government, even instead of just people ruling themselves and trading in business and pleasure, and you know, we could get into that. That's a whole other thing, like how things would work and how the roads would get built and how schools would work and why children wouldn't be working in brothels without the government, and why, well, they already are working in brothels all over the world, and the government not only can't do much about it, they occasionally bust a bunch of horrible people, but they do things that actually encourage it. But that's a whole nother episode. But and you know, grandma would not be eating dog food in a ditch without the government, but that's a whole nother episode. But let's pretend for a minute there should be small limited government. And there should be something like the FCC. Like, it's kind of funny because I actually know some people that are really, really small government that are total gun people, but are also like ham radio operators. And they're like, there should be no regulation on guns whatsoever, which I agree with. But they're also like, there has to be regulation on the radio waves or everyone would be stepping each other over each other on the radio. And there's actually technological advancements of why that's not true. You know, with digital transmission, you could get, 500 channels on the space on an FM or AM band now that has one channel, and other things that, you know, and the government has actually blocked that kind of stuff. They make the entry level to get into that kind of business so high that innovators don't get involved in it. But so if you can say there should be something called the FCC to allocate bands of radio and TV transmission, that maybe that makes sense for radio, but those people really want to be involved in the internet too. And there's absolutely no need for them to be involved in the internet because there's basically unlimited channels on the internet. I mean, you have a channel on the internet, you have a website, right? You put out media.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because that's the weird thing about it, because like just now I often worry that maybe sometime in the future I'll maybe be talking to grandkids and that and go, you know, in my day you could put anything on the internet, but not now, you know. That worries, that the idea of having that conversation freaks me out.
Well, your internet in the UK, and Scotland is part of the United Kingdom, right?
Yes.
It's not England, but it's related to England somehow, right?
we have a devolved parliament in Scotland. However, all the big things are still controlled in the parliament in Westminster in England.
Ah, so you are sort of under English rule, right?
We are under English rule. Not sort of, we
are. That's weird because isn't Scotland a separate country, technically?
Yeah, so is Wales and so is Northern Ireland, but they come under the UK umbrella. See, Scotland has a parliament and Wales has an assembly and Northern Ireland has an assembly, which is like a smaller version of a parliament. And, you know, they get given so many things that they're allowed to regulate on. It's the same. The Scottish Parliament's bigger, but again, it's like there's so many things that they're allowed to deal with. But all the big stuff, you know, like defence and all that, that still takes place in the Westminster Parliament in London. So it's kind of broken up a bit, but you know,
yeah,
still government.
So you actually, what's your FCC called there? What's the equivalent in the UK?
Oh, what is it called? Ofcom.
Ofcom. Now, are they also a telecom? Like, do they also provide phone service and internet service?
They don't know.
I hear your dog barking.
Something's disturbed him. Now, Ofcom are just like a government regulatory body, as far as I know it.
It sounds like something from 1984. It really does. Like, official communism or something like that. Ofcom. Do you have regulations on what you can do on the internet there and how much are they enforced?
Well, not really. I mean, there's been this move to try and, for example, right, okay, so there's been this move to try and sort of regulate pornography on the internet and what can and can't be shown. And quite funnily, there was...
We're not talking about like kiddie porn or animal porn. We're talking about adults, right? We're talking,
consensual adults, yeah.
Yeah, you know, let's all agree like that. We're not talking about that, and that's bad stuff. We're talking about, you know, it's the stuff that you can buy in magazines, in stores in America and in England, right?
Mm. Yeah, consensual adults.
Yeah, they're trying to regulate that there.
Yeah, and there was a kind of, this was a month or so ago, there was like a face-sitting protest that took place in London when a bunch of people basically got outside the Houses of Parliament and all sat on each other's faces in protest, which I thought was kind of funny. It's a good way to make a point.
It's kind of interesting to me that the UK is a lot more square in a lot of ways than America, but a lot less square in some ways. Like, the average person in the UK is not... There's not as much dissent about the government there, right? Like, there's grumbling about the government, but there's not, like, you know, a million people signing a petition for their state to secede like there are here, right? Or there was in Scotland.
There was in Scotland, but that was a kind of different issue. But what basically happens here is because, like, third parties and things can obviously have more power here because of we have a completely different system because we have a parliamentary system as opposed to a presidential system. It means that then all the anger gets concentrated into, like, some other party. So basically in Scotland, when they got annoyed with Labour and the Conservatives, all the anger get concentrated into the Scottish National Party. And now we're seeing a little bit in England with all their rage is being concentrated into what are called UKIP or the United Kingdom Independence Party. You know, it just gets concentrated into another party instead of realizing that the government is the problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But it's, and that happens here too. You know, Democrats and Republicans screaming at each other all day long. They don't punch each other though in Congress. That's happened there in the parliament, hasn't it?
Not so much in Britain, but like it's more in sort of mainland Europe. I've seen that, especially like in places like Eastern Europe and things like that. It can get a bit heated, man. It's quite interesting to watch, but it doesn't really happen here. Everyone's a bit too polite here.
Yeah, but also like American, like it's hard to really describe the difference. But for instance, banning consensual adult pornography in America has never really gained ground much here. You know, people have tried, but it really hasn't. And it seemed like they got closer in England. But on the other hand, like in England, on the national government-controlled British Broadcasting Corporation, like the main TV stations there that are paid for by the government, like they say the F word all the time and they show full frontal nudity, right?
Well, to be honest, I haven't watched the BBC in a while, but I have seen it on the BBC. I got rid of broadcast television a while ago Katie and I decided we weren't going to bother our arses paying for it anymore because it was just a waste of money. So we decided.
I'm hearing more people saying that. It's kind of like when I was younger, when I was a kid, I'm 50. When I was like 25, like when TV, you just bought a TV or, you know, bought a used one for $25 at a pawn shop and you had TV, you could watch the six channels they had then. And it didn't cost you anything per month. And occasionally you'd hear people saying, oh, I've given up TV. I got rid of my TV. Like I'm better than you. And then like, that was the thing back then. But now it's kind of like, there's more and more people saying like, yeah, it just wasn't worth the money. You know, like, it's not like I'm better than you. It's more like, it's not worth the money and I can get it all the next day on the internet anyway, you know?
Exactly. And it's even before I started my own podcast, I thought the money I'm paying for this broadcast nonsense, all these channels I don't watch, I could actually give it to like the podcasts and things that I listen to, you know, and actually support decent media instead of supporting all this nonsense that, you know, we're all being bombarded with.
Yep.
I wish more people would do that.
I wish they would too. I mean, I have a lot of complaints about Liberty and I don't really consider myself part of the Liberty mission or the Liberty movement even.
Neither do I.
I just make Liberty stuff and I see a lot of infighting these days, but one thing I don't see a lot of is libertarians like actually giving money to other libertarian projects that are good.
Did you have one in mind, Michael? Maybe
mine. Yeah, yours. Mine. You actually sent us $15 twice, I think, which is amazing. I mean, I actually know a millionaire who I hit up for a donation, and he sent me $20. Like you and your wife have sent me more than a millionaire I know. And
that's crazy.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, it's not socialism. Pay what they want. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm just saying, he's also probably donating to 50 or 60 different projects every month. You know, so he probably is.
Well, there you go.
Out.
Yeah,
but man,
some people do that, and that's cool, man. I mean, Jim Jesus, who you know very well, he recently he put on Facebook, he just gave a bunch of people $2 donations and like we were in there and True Shaves and Derek J and stuff, but it was all in like $2 worth of Bitcoin roughly. Yep, yep. So he just does that. He just does small donations and spreads it out, which I think is a pretty good way to do it.
Yep. It feels good to get a donation even if it's $2. It's like, yeah, it's $2 more than I had before. It's somebody putting their money where their mouth is. And I guess libertarians, we preach capitalism, but a lot of us aren't very good at it. I'm not that good at it. I'd rather work on things that are fun. All right, here we go.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, a longer leash if you can keep it, ma'am. For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
Freedom Fiends. It's almost like a poem today. This is the Freedom Fiends. I am Michael Dean. I'm talking to Dan Green from the Greening Out Podcast. And Dan and his wife, Katie, are going to, well, I don't want to draft her yet. And she's not, I don't know. Is she legally your property in Scotland? I don't know how that works. Can you make decisions while she's not around?
I can, but then she can veto them. Katie can be scary. You know what I mean? She can be scary, by the way. Watch Katie.
We should probably wait till she gets home to ask her. But Dan is going to be one of the new rotating hamsters on a spit that are the Freedom Fiends co-hosts.
Believe me, Katie will be into it.
She was actually really bummed out that one time I had a co-host cancel over Christmas because of the holidays, and I grabbed you because you were around and because you're good, and we've done a show. You guys interviewed me once and it went really well, and I liked it. And here's how good things can happen from good use of tags in your podcast show notes. You guys, I'd never heard of you guys. You mentioned the Freedom Fiends in passing in the middle of a show. You said that you liked us. I never would have listened to that show. I never would have found it. Nothing against you guys. Just, I don't have time to go listen to stuff, but you put our name, Freedom Fiends, in the show notes. I got a Google alert.
Yeah.
I went and checked it out. I downloaded it. I didn't even listen to the whole thing because the audio was really pretty bad. I kind of did, I did like needle drops where I put the cursor like through it and played it and played it and played it until I found, I spent about 15 minutes finding the place you talked about me. You guys really liked us. And I said, and I heard a bit of you in there too. It wasn't just that you were kissing my butt or anything. It was like that you guys were really good. And I wrote you guys and said, hey man, you guys are really good. Thanks for mentioning me. Can I make some audio suggestions? And I've actually made that suggestion to people before. Like I made that suggestion to Ben Stone a year before he wrote back, you know, and he was like, "Get away from me, kid, you bother me." But
you're making it sound nice though, man. You, I think, I don't know exactly, but I think it was, you said something like, you guys are great, but your audio is horrible.
Yeah. And, like I've, and I've actually said that to other people. You were right. I've said that to other people and had them get really mad. Like, well, forget you, man. But you know,
We were glad to get that because, I mean, like, we didn't know a lot about this stuff and we kind of thought we were sounding all right at the time. But then since we've, like, you know, taken your advice and gotten all this other equipment, the difference is unbelievable, you know?
Yeah.
It's a huge difference. I mean, even to a point where me and Katie have started recording music and stuff again.
Nice.
Things like that because I used to be in a band years ago and stuff and Katie used to have a bit of singing. So since we got a mixer and stuff, we've started getting into that and it's just been all these different things.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, they used to say like everybody should play music. Every family should be able to play a little music together. And when I was a kid, families played music better or together more than they do now. Like even if they weren't great, like, you know, husband would play some acoustic guitar, wife would play some auto harp and they'd try to sing harmony. And it was like, you know, they did it at, so they could do it at Christmas time. And they did it so if they were bored of playing cards or whatever, they could do it. And not that many people do that anymore as a family. And I think podcasting is kind of the new, one of the new versions of that. You know, I like, the first podcast I ever did was a couples cast. It was my wife and I doing a podcast in 2006 that I can't even mention it on air because people will go find it and it's not suitable for, anybody under 50 or 40 probably. But, yeah, it was very Frank. Let's put it that way. And we are going to talk about the movie Frank, which you really liked.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
So,
oh, I loved it.
So to get back to, let's see, okay, gear suggestions. I think the next thing you should buy is a ground tester to test the ground in your home. You are a homeowner, so there's no, you can't go tell the landlord to fix it. If your grounds are messed up, first of all, it can kill you. Second of all, it could be what's adding a little bit of tiny, like, frying bacon in the next room noise in your otherwise really good audio right now. Or it could be, if the grounds are fine, you should get a power conditioner, which is, you can buy what, like $50. It's kind of like a power strip rack mount thing that you can plug into the wall and then plug like, you know, five other things into it. And it actually, the one I have actually has an LED readout that shows the voltage and it's amazing how much it fluctuates up and down, especially like in the summer when everyone's using their air conditioners, like it goes down from 120 to like 115 where you are. What is it? 220? What's the power?
I'm not sure. I'm not even sure, you know. Yeah. I'm actually not. It's something like that. It's round about that. I'm not even too sure. I'm so bad with all this kind of technical stuff. That's always been my problem. I've always been really bad with it. You know, when I used to play in bands and stuff, it was always like, for example, I had a friend that I used to play with and he'd actually done audio engineering at university, but we don't really talk anymore. But he would deal with all that, you know, and I would just deal with the music stuff.
Yeah.
So like, see, now I've been trying to educate myself and actually trying to learn about this kind of thing so I can get better at it, you know.
Well, now with the internet, like pretty much, you know, schools are obsolete and you can learn at least like, you know, the basics of, that schools teach are obsolete in anything. You can learn, you know, how do I test the ground in my house? If you search that in YouTube, you can have five videos telling you how to do it. But at some point, it's useful to have someone who does what you're trying to do to tell you to do that. And that's why I stepped up and rescued you guys from bad audio and put you into bad audio.
Salute you for that.
Put you into bad audio anonymous. Worms. We'll be right back.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Money.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've been working with computer programmer Derek Slopey to create Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about Fiend Phone.
Fiend Phone is free, open-source software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try the Windows beta version of Fiend Phone right now at fiendphone.com. But we're also raising money to vastly improve Fiend Phone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com and join the conversation, because if you don't, you'll set Liberty back 2,500 years.
That's fiendphone.com. FENPHONE.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiend Phone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Yeah. Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Talking to Dan Green from the Greening Out podcast. What's the web URL of your Greening Out podcast there, Dan?
It's just greeningoutpodcast.co.uk or .com. Either or will take you to the same place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we just thought we'd buy the .com anyway, just in case.
Yeah. Yeah, and I find that most people are really happy with mediocrity, and you guys are not, and that's one reason that I want to make you guys full-time, or not full-time, but part-time fiends. So I've been doing this show coming up on 4 years now, and the Freedom Fiends started as a once-a-week podcast with a guy named Nima Vidotti, who's still a really good friend of mine. And he's actually come on the show occasionally since then, since he left to go have babies. And he will again, you know, here and there when he can. But, you know, if you listen to our, like, if you go to our website, freedomfiends.com, and click on the, over on the left, there's a picture of a gal with a Freedom Fiend shirt on. It says streaming server 24/7, whatever. If you click on her, you get a rotating random player that plays every episode we've ever done. Like, you might get yesterday's episode and then get our first episode next to each other. Like, it's totally random. And he's on a lot of the older ones. So he was on the first 160 episodes, something like that. More than that. I don't know. We went to three times a week as a podcast for a while. Then we got on radio and went to just two times a week on radio live on the weekends, like the show we're doing now. And over time, we got on more stations. We started on one station. Now we're on 34 stations. Might be on 35. There's a station that was going to add us in Florida this week, but I haven't heard. He said he was going to get us. It's kind of how radio works, not like the internet. Like, it's a slow, lumbering beast, and it takes a while to add things. And eventually, but once it adds things, it doesn't get rid of them. Like, literally, we could die, and we'd probably still be on radio for like 6 months or a year. Because you know, the network would probably play repeats of us, because they do that kind of out of respect when people pass away. And they let the stations know, but like, radio people are too busy to check all their emails because they're dealing with all the compliance of the FCC and the, you know, Equal Opportunity Employment Education, all these three-letter agencies. Like, literally, like, I salute small business radio station owners, that these mom and pop stations, it's a lot of what we're on. People that own one or two or three stations, not the big conglomerates. Run a few of them too. But it's becoming harder and harder. And so the people like don't always get their emails. So literally, like, if we died tomorrow, you know, got droned or got hit by a bus, like, literally GCN would likely keep playing repeats for 6 months or a year, because that's what they do out of respect when someone they like retires or dies. And they'd write the station and say, hey, by the way, the Freedom Fiends, they're no longer, but we're playing repeats. But, you know, if you want to put something else in that slot, let us know. Like, half the stations wouldn't even realize it. Like, in a year, we'd still be on the radio. That's how it works. So I don't know. Weird, I don't know if we're on that other station in Florida yet. I'm not going to announce it until I hear. I know someone in that town. They can tell me if we're on. So we started this show, Nima Vidotti and I, and he was recently married, wanted to have kids, and just got too busy being a family guy to do radio. So he bowed out. He actually, it happened was he took off 2 months of paternity leave, which isn't a term I've heard, but apparently it's the politically correct now. Like guys take.
Oh, it's a legal thing here. You're sure entitled to so many weeks of legal paternity leave, and they're trying to make it bigger. Yeah.
But is it called fraternity leave or paternity leave?
Oh, sorry. Paternity leave for me. Yeah.
So he took off like starting 2 months before his baby came and for a month after, he only did Saturdays and he took off every Sunday. And during that time, I had people that I knew that were good fill in for him that were friends of mine mostly. And then he had to quit like right after he came back for 2 days a week and, gave me a little notice that as soon as, I can stay on as long as you need to find somebody. I'm like, nope, no problem. I've already found them. They were doing the show while you were gone, and it wasn't me being mean or anything. It's just like, I really hate indecision. I hate like sitting around like, and it was very cool that he offered to do it as long as needed, but I'm like, nope, I can start this weekend. Just because I like to have kind of a set way of doing things in an unset way, I immediately started doing the show with all the other people. We added a few, we got rid of a few, but now we're at 11. But here's what I want to do. So the Freedom Fiends, myself and this computer programmer, Derek Slopey, have invented this program called Fiend Phone. And you and I are using it to talk over right now, right? We're on the Fiend Phone.
Yes.
Yeah. And it sounds better than Skype. So
much better.
What we've done, we've tested it every show except Bill Buford, because he's on Mac and we don't have this for Mac yet. We only have it for PC. But every show that we've done since Christmas that wasn't Bill Buford, most of the shows since Christmas have been done over Fiend Phone. So we've done some improvements on it and we're about to roll out some bigger improvements here in a month. We're going to add recording to it, which will really make it a killer.
That'll be really cool. Oh, yeah.
Built-in recording. Yeah. So you won't have to
That'll be the thing that makes it perfect.
I know. You won't have to add a mix button. You won't even need a mixer to like do a show all on one computer with somebody else somewhere else. So, but we've got it to where it's really solid. So what we did was we went out and bought this server, we paid $250 for it. It was like a really good deal. Like they're usually like $500 or $600 for like a rack mount, really, really powerful computer that used to be in a bank, like in server for banks, racks somewhere, and it's got like 16 gigs of RAM. It's got two hard drives. It's got two processors. It's got two power supplies. I mean, it's a beast. It's like a government quality, like what the NSA would have to spy on you with kind of computer. And it was completely wiped. No hard drive when we got it. Had to put a hard drive. It had no operating system on it because when they have financial computers like that, they completely like wipe the hard drive and overwrite it 8 times with zeros. So there's nothing on it. So we had to, buy a version of Windows and put it on there. And we got it all configured up so we can like access it remotely. And then we shipped it off to our radio network with nothing on it but Fiend Phone and like a remote access software and a firewall. So like this thing is going to be sitting in our network and it's going to replace the need for people to have these boxes like Comrex and Tyline and things that cost like $1,500 to $4,000. And like the way radio is generally done remotely is like the network has a few of those and then each show has to have those. So if there's 80 shows, like 80 people have to go out and spend at least $1,500. So we're basically making a way, we're doing a proof of concept for a way that people could do that where the network has, one server rack mount computer running free software and every show has free software and a USB mic and a pair of headphones. And like you could have a network with 80 shows without having to spend all that money. So it's vastly going to improve, Liberty Media and media in general, but you're going to say something about that. You think that's good? You think that's a good idea or something?
Oh, no, I think that's great because the thing is, it is true. I mean, I've heard other people say it as well. If we're going to be taken seriously, then we have to produce good content or else they're going to be like, people are going to say, well, look at these libertarian, idiots with their, with their dodgy audio and all this kind of thing. If you're going to be taken seriously, you have to be able to produce really good content that's solid or else otherwise people will think you're just some nut job with these weird ideas. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, what I want to do, and I've always kind of done this, what I did done for a living for the past 10 or 12 years is written books and made movies on how to do DIY art really inexpensively and make it really great. Like I've written this book, $30 Film School, $30 Music School, $30 Writing School. Mm-hmm. And these aren't like books that I wrote and, self-published on Amazon. These are books that I wrote and got an agent and got an advance to write and make royalties from, and like you can get them in, you know, well, you used to be able to get them in every bookstore in America, but there aren't really bookstores in America anymore. But you,
same here.
And people kind of like are crying about that. I'm kind of like, man, the other day I had 40 books in a bookshelf upstairs I wanted to carry down to storage in the basement. I was like, this took four trips, man. Can't I just press a button? And it's really like, I'm not that into physical media. I jumped on, you know, MP3s and DVDs and CDs like as soon as they were available, and the internet. And yeah.
Well, you know what? I thought I wouldn't like the Kindle because I do have a big bookcase and a big collection of books.
And a big book fetish. Just, yeah.
I do, yeah. Yeah. And if you go to like the West End of Glasgow, they have all these great old bookshops where like the books aren't even categorized. They're like just basically, a lot of them aren't even in shelves. They're just in piles from the floor upwards. And you know, there's cats kicking about and
there's
stuff like
cats.
That.
There's always cats. I mean, that's what bookstores are.
Yeah, there's always cats. Yeah.
Just places for people to go pet strange cats. No.
Yeah, but see, I never thought I'd take to the Kindle and things like that, but I really have taken to it in quite a big way since then. You know, I thought like, because I do like having a physical book, and I've got like some cool first editions and stuff, but sometimes if you really want to read something, you can just get it like the click of a button, you know, on your Kindle, and that's you. It's brilliant, man.
Yep. So what I've always tried to do is try to make, you know, I have this website, creamyradioaudio.com, and the motto of it is, caviar sound on a cat food budget. And that's what I've always tried to do, is try to help. I've tried to remove the barriers from, so like if people don't have money, you know, I made a book called $30 Music School, and it cost $30, but people were like, you know, it's a 500 page book. And I've heard people say that, you know, they learned more from that than they did from $40,000 worth of film school. And a lot of it is about how to get things done on the cheap or free for things that you're not planning on making money for, but might make money for anyway. You know, it's not a socialist thing, it's a capitalist thing, but it's like, you know, you can't enter the playing field if you don't have capital unless you know how to do things on the cheap. And I came out of punk rock, and that was the whole thing. Like, you know, we put out our own records like in the 80s, you know, we booked our own tours from payphones. You know, we printed t-shirts on the road and sold them for gas money when we didn't make enough at a show to get to the next show. So I've always kind of known how to do that. And I've just applied that to like digital filmmaking, book writing, podcasting, radio, and music. And I want to be able to teach people that kind of stuff. And finally, we've actually made some software to do it, which is Fiendphone. And, you know, this thing could replace like an actual industry. But the thing is, it won't, which I don't care about. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not really going to kill like the Comrex Corporation. And I kind of like those people. They've done good by me. They've always been good with tech support and stuff. And they made a good product before anybody else had anything like that. But it's kind of like, you know, that's an internal combustion engine. And I've just produced a flying car that runs on rainbows, literally, you know? And you know, the thing is like big industry and big government and big media will still be buying Comrex boxes for like 10 years. But in the meantime, everybody that wants to do good media that can't afford one of those can pick one of these up and sound great, you know, on $100 used computer, without having to spend all that money. And it'll basically open good media up to more people who have something to say that don't have the money for the tools. And the thing is, like, even so, a lot of people won't jump on it. Like, I know people on radio who do interviews over Skype and cell phones that sound horrible. And I'm like, let me help you up with help you out set up Fiendphone. I'll do it free. And they're like, oh, I don't want to bother. But those people are going to just disappear, man, as the quality gets better on media.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
The market will decide. Hi, I'm Michael Dean from The Freedom Fiends. CryptoVape.net is a new company that sells tasty nicotine vape for Bitcoin. I've tried it. It's really good stuff, and they love Bitcoin. They have quality vape and a bunch of tasty flavors. CryptoVape.net. CryptoVape.net is a liberty-loving company, and if you mention the Freedom Fiends, they'll send you something cool with your order, free. CryptoVape.net. Great vapes, great price, and they love Bitcoin. CryptoVape.net. That's CryptoVape.net. Freedom Fiends. It's Michael Dean talking to Dan Green. We're talking about the future of radio and the future of the Freedom Fiends. So basically, I don't make much money at this thing. I make about $200 a month working, you know, 20 or 30 hours a week on this show. There's a lot to doing a show other than the time that you're actually doing a show. There's planning shows, booking hosts, you know, figuring out who's going to be what, when, where, making sure they are, editing and uploading it afterwards and tagging it correctly. And so it sounds good and so people could find it, calling radio stations, all sorts of stuff, man, dealing with all the people saying you're doing it wrong on the, you know, the post comments on the site and the internet. And I generally reply to them until I block them. And you know, that's the right, it's your right to do that. It's your property. It's like kicking a drunk out of your party. Who wouldn't do that? So
exactly.
Yeah. Cause I know I'm doing it right anyway, and they're doing it wrong by telling me that I'm doing it wrong. So, the plan here is basically to like kind of move myself from the founder and constant co-host level of being on the Freedom Fiends to being kind of the overseeing and cat herder who still comes on once or twice a month or once or twice a week or however often I feel like, you know, so I'm not burnt out because I don't want to be burnt out. Yeah. I kind of want to make room for the next up and coming generation. And my brain's already starting to get foggy at times. I'm not always as snappy as I used to be. So it's hard to be at the same place at the same time every day and be brilliant. But you people with your young anarchist libertarian brains, you can step up. And then I can still, you know, since I'll run it, I can still like be like the president. Like I can interrupt the network anytime I want and talk on it, which is a great thing to be able to have. You know, I'm pretty picky with who's a fiend. So don't start sending me resumes. I already know who I want and I've already asked them. And, you know, the reason I want Dan and Katie.
Do you get that though?
I'm saying it as a disclaimer. Oh, I get that without saying I'm looking for new people. And I'm saying it right now as a disclaimer. I'm not looking for an open call here. I've already asked everybody and they've already said what they, you know, I've got it covered. Oh no. I mean, I've had people, I constantly have people saying you should interview me. No, the most common thing I get is you should interview so-and-so blah, blah, blah. You know, like they tell me I should interview somebody and it's usually somebody who's like, they don't really get what the fiends are if they're telling me to interview this person because, it's usually someone who's like, you know, really like angry at the government and blah, blah, blah. And like, oh my God, look what happened. And look what Obama did today. He's horrible. Yeah, he's horrible. But like, that's not really what the fiends are about. We're not really about opening up the newspaper and complaining about the daily news. There's already enough shows doing that. And it's kind of like in history, like people aren't going to listen to that stuff 50 years from now. And you know, you can listen to a fiends episode from 4 years ago. And for the most part, it might as well have been made yesterday because we're not really talking about current events. So it's when people tell me you should interview so-and-so, I usually say, and we're also really like not an interview show. We rarely do interviews. It's usually someone I know or it's someone who like blows me away so much that that I have to interview them. And that's not something I'm going to get from someone sending me an email. But, you know, for instance, like, you know, two of the people I've interviewed, you know, out of the 10 or 12 I've ever interviewed in 600 episodes, like, you know, one of them was Chris Novoselic from the band Nirvana, from that little rock and roll group.
That's amazing, man.
You know, and
that little group.
Yeah. And I knew him because he liked my band. I knew him from back in the day. So I didn't have to go through agents. I didn't have to call someone's manager. I didn't, you know, I just called him. I was like, hey man, let's do an interview. I do a radio show now. And he's like, oh, cool. I'll do it. When? And he was open to like, you know, I was like, you know, I don't want to do it over the phone. Can you buy a microphone? And he's like, okay, what do I buy? And I told him and he bought it. Like, that's the kind of, I want interviews that sound good. Okay. We interviewed, the guy who does Metalocalypse, you know, the Death Clock guy. That was good.
Yeah.
That was over Skype. It didn't sound that great, but it was a classic interview. I interviewed.
The way he jumps into those voices are amazing.
Yeah. And I.
See, when you got him to jump into the voices, it was just like he just flipped that on. Incredible.
Yeah. He does some Freedom Fiends bumps as Nathan Explosion in Squizcar. But, you know, and I, like another guy I interviewed, I thought it was really important to interview him. I didn't know why. And all of a sudden, like 2 years later, you know, he was found dead in his home with his family, being called a murder-suicide. And I'm convinced, well, I'm not convinced. I think it's possible that it was, you know, he was killed by somebody else because I didn't like what he's saying. Like, but I thought that guy was important to interview and interviewed him before Alex Jones or anybody else, because I just thought this seems important and this guy's a good artist, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to interview, you know, some guy that somebody sends me an email about. And so I have to make that. And then I do get people saying, I do often get people saying, I should be on your show. I should be your co-host. And I'm like, I don't know you, man. Most of the co-hosts on here have been listeners for 3 years, you know? All right, we'll be back.
Presumptuous.
We're going to talk more about do-it-yourself art and reaching the world from your home and making a difference in history when we get back. Worms.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Here, it's not wasting it. You know. I'll listen, but here we go. Freedom Fiends. Yeah. This is the Freedom Fiends talk radio musical extravaganza, melting your synapses and fusing them together permanently with our thoughts and our sounds and our word stylings. I am your host, Mr. Michael W. Dean, and we are broadcasting through the Libertarian Reindoctrination Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. I'm talking today with our co-host, one of our newly minted fiends, Mr. Dan Green. I'm Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends. We're talking to Dan Green from the Greening Out podcast from, where are you in Scotland? I don't want to get it wrong.
Glasgow.
What does that mean?
Glasgow.
Did they used to make
Glasgow?
There? Yeah.
No, I don't think, not to my knowledge. I've got no idea.
Yeah. It's a weird sounding word to us Yankees. So we were talking in the first hour about do-it-yourself art and, you know, making media. And the thing is, like, everybody can do this now because of the internet. And, you know, it vastly increases the signal-to-noise ratio of people who call in to talk to you on a telephone and make something they're calling a podcast, which is actually unlistenable, and think that they've got the world by the tail and, like, I'm the master of the universe because they've got four friends listening to them. That's not mastering the universe, man. I don't care how many listeners you have. If you sound horrible and regularly do something, you're doing it wrong. So I'm trying to get people who are interested in getting better at what they do. And I do that for money sometimes, but I also do it for free for people that I think really deserve it and also are willing to take direction, you know, because I've contacted people who are like, or people contacted me like, I do a Liberty podcast. How do I get better? And I give them a couple suggestions, you know, and and then they're like, no, but I want to do it this way. And I immediately just go, okay, good luck, you know, like you don't ask someone for input and then ignore all of it and say, you know, that seems like a lot of people do a lot in life that way of like, I want to get better at what I'm doing, but I don't want to listen to anyone who's gone where I'm going. I want to tell them what to do. It's like, they're not teachable. And I have this saying that I really like. I have a saying of mine I really like, which is, you become old when you stop being teachable, you know? And I've met people who are 20 and they're old because they're set in their ways. And I've met people who are 70 who are still learning about how to do things cool in life. And so you were talking about DIY punk rock art. And I was talking about, before the break of the hour, I was talking about my new direction with the Freedom Fiends, which is basically phasing me out, but still having me be the cat herder, the editor, and the guy who can come on anytime he wants and have a radio show without having to do it every day.
The emperor.
Yeah. The libertarian emperor. And you know, I mean, there's some people who'd say like, oh, that's tyrannical. And I'm like, no, I'm not. It's my property and people have come onto my property. So I make the rules.
Yeah.
A tyrant is someone who comes onto your property and tries to make rules. So
absolutely right.
So I grew up in the punk rock scene and we used to like, you know, make media and share it back when there wasn't an internet. And that sounds like Grandpa Simpson talking about the war, but it really is a mind blowing thing to someone who's young enough to not know, have grown up touching the internet and being able to share anything immediately. I'm kind of glad I couldn't because I was kind of an embarrassment in a lot of ways. Like, I made great music, But I'm really glad there aren't a lot of video and audio and text of interviews from me back when I was in a band before I was 30, because I was an idiot. I was pretty good when I sang and played music, and my lyrics were good because they didn't try to have a stance because I didn't have a stance. They were all just about, like, you know, dreams and sex and drugs and God and the devil and, you know, dreams and dreams. Did I mention dreams? You know, they're kind of like, I'm really glad there's not a whole bunch of stuff out there of me. And, you know, I mean, that may encourage people to go try to look for it. Like, yeah, you might find, you know, a fanzine in a stack of moldy papers in a bookstore going out of business somewhere that has an interview with me, and go ahead and scan it and put it on the internet. I'm not, like, embarrassed for it to be found. Send it to me. I'd love to read it. You know, I forgot how stupid I was when I was drinking and young and drinking, but, you know, I'm just glad that, like, when you search my name now, there aren't like 40 of those that come up along with what I'm doing this week. So did you grow up on the internet? How old are you?
I'm 28, and I still remember when we got our first computer.
You're 20.
28, yeah.
28.
28.
28, yeah. Okay.
And I remember we got our first computer because we were kind of early, because at that time, I remember in school, I was one of only, this is kind of the late 90s, I'm talking about 98, I was only one of like three people in the class that actually had a computer at that time. This was in 98 here. And I do remember that, but like what you're talking about, the whole punk DIY thing, I totally grew up with like that kind of imprinted, you know, in my mind, you know, because I was into, you know, I was into bands like Nirvana and that, you know. Actually, funnily enough, I was like a kind of an anachronism in a way, because when the whole grunge thing was over and I was a teenager, I was still, you know, like wearing flannel shirts and stuff with like Nirvana t-shirts and like Mudhoney t-shirts and like ripped jeans and stuff like this.
Yeah.
So I was kind of out of place. I'd kind of missed it a bit. But that DIY ethic is so important, and you can actually, I mean, even, I think you, oh, in fact, I heard about him on your show. We interviewed a guy called James Burnett who runs Survival Punk.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And yeah, he's great. And he takes the DIY ethic to survivalism and prepping. So it shows you can apply it to different things. It's not just, I'm in a band, we release our own records and things like that. It's like, you can apply it to absolutely anything. And when Katie and I started, like, even just this podcast, we only had like a wee crappy microphone and stuff like that cost £5 or roughly $10, you know what I mean? And oh, you could hear it, but like it gave us the start we needed, because it's better, I think it's better to try something a little bit first rather than just, you know, spend a whole bunch of money and then you might find you don't like doing it. You know, it's better to start small and just start from it like that.
My first podcast episode in 2006 sounded really, really good, because you know, I'd played in bands and messed around with record, like I'd spent a lot of time being recorded by masters, you know, being in studios, being recorded by actual recording engineers. You know, like, I mean, Bill Laswell, like, you know, he produced some albums by Public Image Limited and the Ramones and Motorhead, you know, he's the real deal. And I was in some punk rock, you know, punk rock studios, but they were really good ones, like Inner Ear, like, you know, where Minor Threat had recorded and Fugazi and people that. But, but I was never like pushing the buttons, but I saw how it all worked. So, and then, also our band, we had a guitar player in my band Bomb who was a recording engineer, like worked at a studio and knew what he was doing. And we would record demo tapes on like one of those Porta studios. Remember those 4-track cassette things?
I've got one.
Yeah.
Got one in my cupboard.
Yeah. They're worth getting now, 'cause if you can find them, they're cheap and you can actually, they're good. And, yeah, we had one of those. I mean, we recorded a demo on that that got us signed to Warner Brothers, and we recorded it in a, you know, in a recording studio, the size of a rehearsal studio, the size of a bedroom with two microphones, and we multi-tracked it. Like, we used two microphones and recorded the guitar, bass, and drums together with me kind of singing without a mic to keep us in time. And then we had, like, you know, we recorded that to two tracks, and then we had like two tracks left over to overdub extra guitars to make it sound beefier and bigger. And then another track to do all the vocals at once. And he had like, you know, he had a little compressor and he had a little reverb unit, and it sounds really good. Like, I found a cassette of it recently and listened to it. It sounds better than some independent albums. So I'd seen how that works. So when in 1998, I got my first computer that was capable of recording, and I just took to it. And I was like, all right, this is it, man. I started doing music on it and got better at it. And, you know, so in 2006, when I started podcasting, you know, I got a mixer about like the one you guys have now, and I got a couple condenser mics, which I don't recommend anymore for podcasting. They're too sensitive. I recommend dynamic mics, but, you know, I basically soundproofed a room in my house so I could use condenser mics and have them sound okay. And, you know, I just, I've always tried to, like, I've always thought that media is art, you know, and I'm not like, oh, I'm an artist, you know, I'm kind of like a street artist, not like painting in the street, but like, you know, kind of like the plumber view, you know, the punk rock view, the like, don't be afraid to literally get your hands dirty view of art. You know, like,
and you're not wearing a scarf and going, I'm an artist.
No, man. you know, what I usually wore on tour was my band's shirts because, you know, I'd forgotten my shirt in some girl's apartment I'd spent the night in on tour. You know, I wasn't into fashion. And I guess that kind of became a fashion later. Like Nirvana were like that too, but it kind of became a fashion and people copied a lot. But they had it. They had the thing, you know, they had the real deal. And so I've tried to always kind of take that, you know, caviar sound on a cat food budget mentality to anything I do, to the point where like I consider the execution of the art almost as important as the art itself. Not quite as entirely. Like, you know, a great song recorded on a cassette is going to sound better than a bad song recorded in a studio. But, you know, I like to try to make the great song sound pretty good, even if it's recorded on a cassette. And that's not hard to do. And it's not rocket science, but most people aren't willing to take the 5 minutes or 5 hours it takes to learn how to do that because they're too busy adjusting their scarf and putting on their makeup, you know?
And you've kind of, in a way, like, see now, I never used to think like this, but see now that like, since we've been working with you and getting our audio better, now I listen to other podcasts and I get angry because I'm thinking, man, if you spent $20, you would sound a lot better, you know, like just stuff like that. I notice it a lot more now than I ever used to. I'm much more aware of like
you should be.
Bad audio.
You should shun bad audio. Bad audio is to be shunned. you know, a lot of times people don't have to spend anything to sound better. Like, you know, some people have an okay mic and an okay mixer and whatever, but, you know, all they have to do is like, send it to me and I'll give you opinion and then send me $5. No, like literally, like, you know, one of the things you guys were doing, like you had a mic that I could have gotten good sound out of, but you were speaking into the wrong end of it because it didn't come with a manual.
Yeah, there was absolutely zero manual, no way. And like, it looked like the end you would talk into it, does, but it wasn't.
Because it's bad design. Yeah, because it's trying to look like an RE20, you know, dynamic mic, but it's really a side address condenser mic, not an end address dynamic mic. Yeah.
And that costs more than the two mics that Katie and I use now that sound a lot better, that one mic.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yep. It's, you know, it's always good to ask somebody or talk to somebody who's been on the path you're trying to go on and ask them how they do it. And that's something I've always like tried to give back a little bit by, you know, teaching people how to do what I do to the point where it became my career for 10 years. It's kind of not so much anymore. You know, I don't really do it for money that much anymore, but, you know, it's kind of like I went through AA and got sober 20 years ago, almost 21 years ago. And the 12th step in AA is like giving back, like teaching others how to stay sober. And I do some of that too, but I almost do my 12 step work. Like I'm not a member of AA anymore. But the thing I learned from AA was like, it's important in life to give back, you know, and that doesn't necessarily mean like sending money to a charity. It can be, it's better even often to give your time to somebody. So
absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, man.
But these days I just make videos and do it once so I don't have to tell it over and over and over. But a lot of people don't even want to do that. They're too busy adjusting their scarf in any medium. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. with articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Freedom Fiends, tasing you with liberty. So I'm Michael Dean, I'm talking to Dan Green, and we're talking about DIY art. And we're going to take a little left turn here into some weird DIY territory and talk about Norwegian black metal, which is a really strange thing to talk about on syndicated radio, especially on a Sunday, and you know, in New Orleans, which is the holiest city in America. We're on the radio there today. I want to ask you really quick, yesterday was Valentine's Day. Did you and your wife do anything fun?
It was Valentine's Day yesterday?
Yeah, man.
Really?
Yep. Okay.
No, we don't do it. No.
You're in trouble, dude.
We don't. No, the two of us, we don't bother about that kind of
good,
stuff, you know.
Good, then you're not in trouble.
It's not really our thing.
Yeah, it's not ours either, man. To me, it's like every day is Valentine's Day, so. Yep.
Yeah, that's the way we feel, definitely, absolutely. Yep.
All right, so tell me about, what is Norwegian black metal and why should people care?
Okay, right. I'm kind of hyper interested and always have been since I was a teenager. I've actually, Katie and I did a show about it called A Blaze Still Lingers in the Northern Sky.
Oh,
and
that then is, I wrote like that a big, is metal. That is so metal.
I wrote a big 5-page essay about it as well because, right, they did use the punk DIY scene. A lot of bands like Dark Throne, like there's a great movie called Until the Light Takes Us, and it was made in 2009, and it's about the whole scene. And this was, for anyone who doesn't know, it's a crazy, crazy scene because you had this guy, Varg Virkens, who was a one-man band called Burzum, and he also played with a band called Mayhem. They were the real, them and Dark Throne were the real black metal scene of the early 1990s. But Varg did 21 years in jail for murdering the guitarist of Mayhem, you know, and there was a load of church burnings he got done with. But that aside, one of the big things about Norwegian black metal that a lot of people don't realise is what the, like, for example, someone like Varg Virkens, they're just real, like, see, if you listen to them, a lot of people, it seems satanic. They think it's like, because they did use satanic imagery. But his whole thing was he was annoyed about the Christianization of Europe. And he wanted to go back to like a sort of
pagan.
Pre-Christian values. Yeah. I don't like the word pagan, but like a sort of pre-Christian value system. But like the idea was what they were annoyed about was the fact that they were like, you know, like because with the Christianization of Europe, it's a very complex topic. It happened in different places in different ways. But the problem was like a lot of that history was either Christianized or destroyed. So when you hear them, like some people might think this is noise, this black metal, but the main music is like, it reminds me of Northern Europe, the kind of cold, I know it sounds a bit over dramatic, right? But there is a kind of cold isolation. Sometimes you can feel somewhere like Northern Europe. And the fact that like they used to wear what they called corpse paint, though the faces all white with the big black eyes, but
I would say the band Kiss kind of was like doing a bubblegum version of corpse paint in a way.
Yeah, they took it seriously later on, like because it was like the early 90s. But yeah, you're absolutely right. But then see what I hear is I hear it's almost like ghosts from a past sort of screaming into the future is kind of how I hear it. But they, like bands like Dark Throne, for example, Dark Throne were way more about the music and they totally had the guy, Fenriz, he calls himself. They don't actually play live because he doesn't like it. He actually works for the postal service in Norway. They'd never play live, but he was more about the music and he brought this punk rock DIY ethic, to the scene. And they also used to have a record shop in Oslo in Norway called, it was basically the Norwegian word for hell, but some of them used to live there. You know, the guy that owned it lived upstairs and stuff, and some of them lived in the back room. So it's like they opened their own record shop. They were, because no one wants to release black metal because it's like, it's unradio friendly as you can possibly imagine.
There's a really funny takeoff on that metal shop, that metal record store in Death Clock, in a Death Clock episode. Do you know the one? It's where they go to Norway.
Oh, I haven't
when,
seen it.
When Toki's dad is dying of cancer. And like they go to the town where he was born, and it's like this really white bread, like everyone's wearing reindeer sweaters, and they're like, "Hey, look, it's the first metal stop record store ever." And he's like, "Where?" And they're like, "It's a fish shop," and they're waving, ladies waving. And he's like, "No, next to that." And like it's this like really looks out of place, really dark with the rest of the street, which looks really, you know, Norwegian and socialist and happy, and you know, skiers yeah. and walking by, and everyone looks healthy. And they go in the store, and they're and it's like they have like four records in there, and it's really dark and dim, and they're playing this horrible music, and they're like, and the guy has corpse paint behind the counter, and they're like, do you have any Death Clock records? And he says, I don't like Death Clock, too digital. You know, there's kind of this thing in death metal too sometimes about like this, the fashion is anti-fashion even in audio, to the point where like the worse and cheaper it was recorded, the better it is. Is that a thing you've encountered?
Oh yeah, because like for example in Burzum's first album, now Burzum was this guy Varg Virkins that I mentioned that was in jail, and like all his albums are just him, and he wanted the worst mic, the worst amp he could get for the very part. He wanted to make it sound as bad and gritty as he possibly could, and he did it.
I've heard it said that like with some people in death metal, black metal, if it's only cool if it's a 12th generation cassette recorded in a cave in Belarus.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends. So, Dan, did you know that I play something on all of the music in all the Freedom Fiends?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the same with our show. Our show is all me and Katie. All the music is all us, unless otherwise stated.
Yeah, that's the same thing. Yeah. So we were talking about black metal, and you were talking a little during the break about the weird white power connections, and I am totally, I want to make it really clear, I'm not a racist, and, you know,
me neither.
It's weird that you even have to say that, but, you know, these days you have to preface things with saying that, and I don't mind saying it, because I'm not into any kind of tribalism, man. I think people should be judged on an individual basis, and there are idiots from all races, so, and there are good people from all races, so, but tell me a little bit about the weird, what you were telling me about some of the dark metal. The black metal groups. Tell me about them.
Well, I'm a weird black metal purist, for example. Like, so I believe the real black metal bands were the ones in the early 90s, but there is a lot of, for example, there's a thing just now, there's been a movement called Ossetru, which is a kind of getting back to the sort of older sort of ways in Europe, what some people may call pagan. But if you actually, we did an interview with a guy called from Canada called Daniel Updike, he's a Gothi, which is like a priest. And if you actually listen to them, they don't actually think that Odin and all these people are actually real gods.
Wait,
that are
he's a what? There. You just said something that needs explanation. What was that?
Oh, sorry, a Gothi or a Gothi, or depending on how you say it, it's like a name for a priest, an Old Norse name for a priest.
An actual priest, like not where, I mean, a priest like in the Catholic Church or the Protestant Church.
No, and no, as in what you might call a pagan priest.
A pagan priest. Okay, yeah, that required, yeah, what that's you might what call required that, explanation.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Go ahead. So Now, there is some people, like, so we talked to Daniel Updike, and he's a libertarian, and he's like us, and he's cool, man, and that interview we did with him was mind-blowing. Katie was like, my mind is blown, because he gets into all this really heavy metaphysical stuff. But, like, there is some people who basically use the whole kind of Ostertruth stuff for as an excuse for, like, a white Europe, you know, and they do what the Nazis did. The Nazis took symbols that weren't theirs, like the swastika, ancient symbol found all over the world. Hindus still use it, and then just basically plastered it everywhere and used it for their own ridiculous racist ends. And that has become a problem in certain sections of, like, for example, like black metal music and things like that. There's some people that misappropriate these symbols and who, you know, talk about like a white Europe and things like that, which I think is just, I completely disagree with that in every way, shape and form. You know, I like the music, and that's something that
is that, that makes me upset
sometimes.
National Socialist black metal, that's a subgenre, right?
Oh, that's a subgenre, yeah, but there is, like, for example, that guy Varg Virkins I talked about, I don't want to speak for him, but if you were to go on burzum.org, you would see that he's got very kind of, I don't know what the word to put is, but basically he leans towards that way, you know, that kind of National Socialist sort of way. And that's what bothers me about some of it, because I understand the fact that, I understand the rage and the anger about maybe Christianity taking away a form of life that, like, may have existed for a long time, you know, as in like Celtic, Norse, these old kind of tribal ways of life, because I'm quite interested in the history, so I understand that. But, like, I don't think you get to let's kick everyone else out of Europe that's not white, you know, or let's have a predominantly white Europe. I don't think it doesn't go there. That's, that doesn't follow for me.
I do kind of understand them kind of like singing about the Norse ways and the Viking ways too, because, and you know, you mentioned really briefly in passing, like, the history written by the victors, or you didn't say that, but something like that. But, you know, in school, in school, in every Western school, in every European and American school, every kid is taught, oh, the Vikings were these marauding rapers who went off across the land, chopping people in half and stealing their gold and their women.
Rubbish.
Well, they did.
In some cases, but like...
In some cases, but predominantly self-defense, because, you know, the Romans were marching through their territory saying, we are here now and you will worship our God and give us your land. You know, and they did.
What I meant is just like, when I said rubbish, I just meant it's like an oversimplification.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know a lot of people think that way, but it's kind of an oversimplification, because, like, the Norse were, like, they were great navigators and stuff, and there's a lot of evidence that they reached America way before Columbus did as well.
Yep. So, yeah, go ahead.
And I was just going to say, you know, a lot of people talk about, for example, I don't know if you know about this, but, like, there was the small island called Lindisfarne. And that was, there was a monastery there, and it was raided by the Vikings. And there's basically two schools of thought on that. One is these horrible Norse people came and they killed all these nice, peaceful monks. And the other school of thought is there was a major change to what their social norms were, what their religion was, and it was a violent reaction against it. I'm not saying either's right, but I'm saying is there's two ways to look at it.
Yeah. And so you have kind of a purist view that true black metal does not come from America, don't you?
I actually do, and not to be xenophobic or anything like that, but, like, just for me, I mean, for example, if we quote Varg Virkins, he said, I only know of two black metal bands, Mayhem and Dark Throne. Black metal, if we're being really talking about what black metal really was, then it really was concentrated in Norway in the early 90s. That's, you know, you could even bring in bands like Immortal in that, because they were sort of part of it. But, like, there was this small group of bands who were sort of tightly knit and what I would call kind of black metal, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'll help anybody make media, but I have said several times that there are only two true Liberty radio shows in the world, and it's the Freedom Fiends and Free Talk Live. And I stick to that.
I had no idea you were going to say that.
You know, and I maintain that it's true because, you know, there are a lot of people that talk about liberty on the radio. There's a lot more than that if you count podcasts, but on actual radio, which, you know, a lot of people these days kind of blur the difference and call internet radio shows, you know, blah, 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 radio. But it's being on radio takes more work. It's kind of like, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean you're good. There's a lot of horrible things on the radio, but it means that somebody considers you worth their time and money to put you on radio, because it does cost money for a radio network to put you on, and it costs, you know, ad time that they could be selling to someone else to put you on, for the stations to put you on. So it means something. It doesn't necessarily mean you're the best thing out there, but it means that somebody who is a business person who lives by the bottom line actually thinks you're worthy of having on there. So, I don't decry people for saying that, but I want to play some black metal. It's kind of this guy's considered black metal, sort of noise rock. It's an old buddy of mine from San Francisco, Jeff Whitehead, goes under the name of Leviathan or Rest.
Tattoos are cool. I'm looking at a picture of him.
And, he was in a band called Gift Horse. He played drums in Gift Horse with my guitarist in Bomb, Doug Hilsinger. He lived across the street from me. Jeff Whitehead has a tattoo, my band tattooed on his leg. My band Bomb. I know him from back in the day. He was in the papers a lot a while back in America because he was like accused of a sexual assault of tattooing nether regions of his girlfriend without her permission or something. But it was a he said, she said thing. I haven't talked to the guy in a lot of years. I'm not going to say, oh, he's an angel, but I don't know that he did it. And he said it was a he said, she said thing. And who knows? I don't know. But, I think you don't have a black metal resume unless you've been arrested for something violent, right?
Well, we could say Dark Throne, who are one of the best bands. They were more about the music. Dark Throne, they were never involved in like the church burnings or any murders or anything like that. It's funny because that movie I was talking about, that documentary, it makes the distinction because the two main sort of people they interview are Varg Virkins from Burzum, and he played in Mayhem, and then you've got Fenriz from Darkthrone, and they're so different because Varg is all about the sort of the anger, the politics and things like that, and the philosophy, whereas Fenriz is way more, he talks more about the music and how the riffs were played and, you know, the down tuning, and that's more what he was interested in. So you see that quite sharp distinction between the two of them.
Yeah, and I don't really know what Jeff, a.k.a. Rest, a.k.a. Leviathan's thing is with his music. I know him from back in the day when he was in punk rock bands, but I do know this. He was a consummate, he was always very into the music. Like, you know, he was one of the guys who, you know, other people in other bands would like practice for an hour and then be like, oh, let's go out and get drunk, man, talk about chicks and how big we're going to be. And Jeff was like, no, let's get this right. Let's play it for 4 more hours until it's perfect. You know, like that kind of obsession, which I really respect. So let's check this guy out. Well, this is a one-man band. Okay, you were going to say something. Go ahead. Say it.
I was just going to say quickly, how much do you hear that? Whereas sometimes some people, music is the vehicle for their philosophy, but other people, music is the end in itself.
Yeah, this guy was always like that.
You see the differences.
Yep, yeah. Here we go. So, we're going to check this out. This is Massive Conspiracy Against All Life by Leviathan.
It's a bit too heavy an assault for me.
Let's hear a little bit of a different cut. And this is, I gotta say, this is probably the most radio play he's ever gotten on commercial radio. Yeah. I like this.
That sounds more like black metal to me.
And this sounds like the bands he played in, and this has a little bit of my band Bomb's kind of like drumming in it, and he was very influenced by the drummer in Bomb.
Yeah, because the drumming's a big deal in black metal.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that's probably more than we should.
If you're into that sort of thing.
Probably more than we should play on commercial conservative talk radio, anyway, at least, if we want to stay on some stations. But yeah, we did it.
The thing is as well, what a lot of people don't realize is like it might sound like to a lot of people like noise, but it's hard to play, man. Like those drummers use double bass drums and stuff, you know, and like the drummer of Mayhem, Hellhammer, I mean, he's incredible, such a brilliant drummer. And some people even say about, all that screaming. Well, what I say to people is I go, well, you try doing that screaming for a full song and see how you can do it. And they can't, you know.
Oh, yeah. You end up with vocal cord polyps in 2 weeks. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to come back with more on the Freedom Fiends. A tribute to the freedom and liberty of black metal. With Dan Green.
I like that.
Yep.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Freedom Fiends, Redemption in the Third Act, with Michael Dean and Dan Green. So, Dan, we took a little trip down a dark road there and played some black metal. And tell me a little bit more. I want to steer this to the redemption of, like, you know, basically do it yourself and don't let anyone tell you can't do it, and the market will decide, and make your tools as good as possible. Basically, the tools for all kind of art are almost free at this point, but you can't just plug them in and expect them to do the work. You have to have some talent too, and you have to have a little bit of care with the technical aspects and the presentation. So I guess that's what I was going to say at the end, but go ahead. Expand on that, sir.
Well, yeah, the thing is, it's about effort anyway, isn't it? Because, I mean, we've had some people that have, for example, have emailed our show and stuff, you know, and they've been like, oh, I could come on regularly to your show, and I know this person and that, and here's what I've done, and, you know, they've done practically like two blog posts or something. And not that we're any... I'm actually surprised why they're bothered coming on our show anyway, because we're not that big a podcast. Yeah. We've taken a jump recently, but it's not like we're anyone massive. But, like, if someone, like, emails me and... for example, if they've got like a blog that's got a lot of great articles, or they've done a lot of good videos and they've put the work in, then yeah, I would absolutely have them on in a heartbeat. But when people just send me this half-arsed nonsense and then they try and say, oh, can I come on your show? And it's like, well, no, what have you actually done? And that's the thing. It's not like you... I know people who will, like, they'll share things on Facebook, but they actually go out and call themselves activists because they just share things on Facebook and on Twitter. Yeah. You know, and I know there's a lot of difference in what an activist is and what it isn't, but the fact is, if fair enough, if that's all you want to do, fine, but don't give yourself airs and graces as if you're changing the world. I mean, we don't even... Katie and I don't even talk about... We don't even consider ourselves to be changing the world in any way. You know, we like talking to each other. We like talking to other people, and we just have fun with it. It's just a hobby, man.
Yeah.
We do believe what we say, obviously, completely, but, you know, it's just fun. I mean, I'm not getting all... I know a lot of old socialists who are now old, and they're all kind of... They're so angry because they thought they would see socialism in their lifetime. I mean, I don't think I'm going to see, like, an anarcho-capitalist utopia. Well, it would never be a utopia anyway. Let's say that we're not utopian, but I don't think I'm going to see it in my lifetime. But that doesn't bum me out or make me upset or anything, because I'm doing what I like to do. I'm talking about what interests me, and surely that's what matters.
It really is. You know, there's
always what I think.
If you want to take it back to like old hippie day too, there's a quote from Jimi Hendrix I really liked, which was, "Find yourself and then your art." And It seems like most people do it backwards, you know, even to the point of like with kind of celebrity culture to where like they don't bother finding an art and they just think, I'm wonderful. And if the camera finally gets my my face on it, the world will know because my mother says I'm great. You know, we were going to talk.
And you see that in talent TV shows, don't you?
Which we should probably talk about Black Mirror for the last 3 minutes. So there's this show, this British TV show that's amazing called Black Mirror. One of the episodes is
Charlie Brooker.
Is a not too distant future kind of dystopia where, you know, the main economy is being forced to ride on a bicycle. And then there's
10 million credits, I think.
And then there's a talent show. Yeah. So who's the creator of that? And I've never heard of him before.
Okay, his name's Charlie Brooker, and he started out as a hilarious television columnist, and he's written a lot of great books. Ones I recommend are Dawn of the Dumb, Screenburn, and The Hell of It All. I've read a number of his books. He's brilliant. He also made a great zombie thing called Dead Set. And what this is it's like Big Brother in the UK, so it's done like that, except what's happened is there's a zombie apocalypse outside, but the people in the Big Brother house don't know, because, you know, obviously they're under the TV, so they don't realise that this, but then they stop hearing from Big Brother, and they think it's just part of the show, but they don't realize that outside their compound is completely overrun with zombies. It's amazing. It's
I would highly
recommend it.
I gotta tell Dobby Barker about that, because he turned me on to Black Mirror, and he is a zombie, you know, he writes zombie books.
Yeah, he loves it.
I don't know if he knows about that. It's called Dead Set.
Dead Set. Katie actually asked me about that. She was like, do you think Dobby Barker knows about Dead Set? And I was like, well, I don't know. Maybe you should tell
him. He's going to now, because he actually listens to every Freedom Fiends episode, which is, I don't even do that. That's kind of, other than that he's like great, that's part of why he's on The Fiends. Like, you know, he knows The Fiends better than I know The Fiends. And he actually improved a lot. I interviewed him like 2 years ago, and he wasn't very interesting, and we joke about him a lot.
I've heard your early ones, man.
Yeah, he's the most improved player. He's the number one host now. He's the first guy I call when somebody can't do something or when I'm booking people. So, man, the Freedom Fiends is it's the punk rock, libertarian, no-budget radio broadcast school. It's a teaching hospital, and we're glad to have you aboard. And if your wife wants to come on board too, when she gets home, you can surprise her and tell her.
She's going to be excited.
Cool, man. It's been great having you on, Dan. Everybody should check out the Greening Out podcast, greeningout.com, right?
Yeah, greeningoutpodcast.com.
Greeningoutpodcast.com. I'll link it in the show notes. Thank you, man. Freedom Fiends. Another day, another Fiend episode. Give me a Worms, brother.
Worms.